Welcome to Star Party, an astrology and tarot podcast that serves up both soulful evolution and bedazzled celebration. I'm astrologer and hypnotist Sandy Citron.
And I'm astrologer and tarot reader Bess Matassa. We're so glad you're here. Let's get the party started.
Hello, Star Party listeners. It's me, Sandy, and I'm here with Bess. Hi, Bess.
Hi. Your voice sounds so sweet, Sandy. Oh, it must be coming off of Libra season.
Yes, yes. We're coming off of Libra season, and now we are into Scorpio season, and we are going to dive deep and get probably pulled away by the ocean.
Pop some pimples.
Ooh, extraction.
Some extractions.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Ooh, what else, Bess? What else are you thinking about Scorpio? I'm ready to get grossed out, I think.
Yeah. Well, actually, my images that I want to bring forward at the top of this conversation are not as gross as normal.
Good.
So.
Yes.
I'm going to respect your Venus and Virgo. And,
thank you.
Yeah. Well, Sandy, you know, it's interesting. I, without getting too deeply into it, although I feel like I start that phrase with everything, and then like 20 minutes later, I'm still talking. But without, you know, getting too deeply into the lineage of this, I have like a kind of a long history with like flamenco dance and music and like just a like magnetic pull into that world. And for some reason, like this kind of edge of Libra Scorpio season, I've been like thinking about flamenco and like watching and like listening to it, the music, and like thinking about it very much tied to this transition between these two signs. And I'm like, what is that? Like, what is it about? And I don't know, without like getting too, I don't know, maybe you can help me like ground this, these crazy thoughts, but I've been thinking a lot about like the for and against-ness of living. Like that there's something fundamental, obviously there's a fundamental creative tension that comes through all of life where we have to like emerge and in battle and like go out like for in the name of something and then meeting resistance to that. And obviously it's not as binary as all that, but you know, I think that connects us really strongly to the Aries Libra axis, which is like the axis that starts and sort of runs through the whole zodiac, but then also gets us into this Scorpionic sort of like the feeling of the againstness of Scorpio, the feeling of like, it's almost like in Libra, we reach the height of our forness, like our rallying cry, our conviction, our ideal, our like desire for movement that's unimpeded. And then we hit Scorpio and we hit a kind of feeling of resistance. And I don't mean to imply like that Scorpionic people or Scorpio season, it's like hard or anything like that. It's just like, I don't know, I've been playing around with this for and against and seeing where that goes. And I also like discovered this crazy word that I'd never heard before the other day called heliotropism. Mm-hmm. I think there's a flower called heliotrope, but apparently heliotropism is the quality of like plants or animals like growing toward the sun. And there's all these like different tropisms of like growing toward water or growing toward like whatever. And I was thinking a lot about that feeling in Libra where we kind of almost hit the maximum growth toward the light. And so inevitably, what is the pull on the other side of that, the sort of Scorpio pull? And, you know, connected to that kind of pull, I've been thinking a lot about this sort of feeling of magnetism that happens in Scorpio and a feeling of kind of inevitability. Both the death card and the judgment card in the tarot are connected to Scorpio and Pluto respectively. And there's something about like death card energy that not necessarily that it has to always be soft or it has to be hard, but I've related to it over the past few years in a much kind of softer way of just almost like drawing to the surface the inevitable fact that everything evanesces and changes and transforms, like, and it doesn't have to always be this kind of embattled Scorpionic idea that we have. And then in judgment, it's almost like we get that pull, we get that magnetism, and we're called to sort of like magnetize toward much larger sort of inevitable transformations of our spirit or our soul. And then the last thing I'll say is just, I've been thinking a lot about Scorpio connected to the other fixed signs and especially to Leo, you know, which is the fixed sign that precedes it. And this idea of the fixed signs, like showing up, I know we've talked a lot on this podcast about like this idea of showing up in fullness to emptiness, and then Scorpio and Aquarius sort of showing up in emptiness to beget fullness. Like it's almost like Leo and Taurus showing up, both of all four about showing up, but you know, showing up to sort of face the void, or showing up as the void to then invite things back in again. And you know, I've always sort of thought of Leo as like showing up on the side of life, no matter what, sort of showing up warm. And Scorpio is almost showing up on the side of death. And I don't at all mean to imply, you know, that there's not life. And obviously these are, you know, commingled things, but it's the sort of glow in the dark to Leo's glow in the light. So I'll just leave it there. I know this
glow
was
in the dark.
Yeah. Wow. The bioluminescence or the fluorescence or what have you. Yeah. So, yeah.
Wait, what was it we were looking up about scorpions? That aren't they like neon or something?
Oh, yeah. You sent me this awesome. Oh, God. Where is like that thing?
Hank Green on Instagram. I think he also is on YouTube. He does these science things. And I think he had mentioned that scorpions are like one of the few animals that actually have metal as part of their body. They like the tip of, because metal is all elements. And so, you know, life is elements. And the tip of the scorpion stinger has elements that combine to create metal, which is crazy.
Whoa.
They actually have metal. They're made of metal. And then aren't they also like neon or something? I don't know.
Yeah. The thing that you sent me had something to do with like the way I think that they glow, or like what creates, or like some self-generated, I don't know. We got to find that.
Find out. But anyway, glow in the dark.
Yeah.
Very apropos.
Yeah.
And this whole cool thing you're talking about with this creativity of like, you know, blooming, going out to meet life, going into it, and then kind of blocking or moving into resistance kind of against it. It just reminded me of a client session I did yesterday where a client was saying, you know, what is this? Is there anything in my chart that's about like, and she made this gesture that's kind of like a stop gesture, like holding up her hand and kind of like stopping someone from coming up to her. She's like, what's in my chart that makes me do this, you know, that, that like blocks, you know, is there anything there? And I looked and she has moon opposite Pluto. And Pluto is the ruler of Scorpio. And what this says is like, hey, I need to make sure I can trust you. Like, I need to make sure that at my own pace, I can go slow enough that I can figure out what the situation is so that then I can open up and that then I can trust you. And if you betray that trust at any point, like the hand is going up, like, you know, then the resistance is going to go up and the Scorpio stinger is going to come out and the exoskeleton is going to, you know, lock into place and we are going to block it because we do not want to get hurt. And this is like a key part of all of us, you know, like we're all very vulnerable as we open up to other people. You know, we all are trying to figure out like, when do I expose myself? When do I make myself vulnerable? You know, this is not just like the Scorpios among us or anything. But when you have a predominant like Scorpio or Pluto or eighth house situation in your chart, this is going to be a theme in your life that you really want to explore. Like, how do I do what I want to do in Scorpio, which is really come together? Because, you know, on some level, I believe that Scorpio is about union and merging and bonding and getting so emotionally close, being so spiritually close, so, you know, sexually close, so united. But to do that, we have to know when that's safe. And so it's this whole kind of loop of like, should I trust you? Should I open up? Can we get close? Okay, now what happens? Like, do I need to protect myself? Am I safe? And then the secret of all of this, you know, for Scorpio is to feel like strong within themselves. For all of us is like, well, if I am solid, if I have my Taurus side of things secure, my self-worth, my self, you know, my own resources, my understanding that I am safe in the world, then it's easier to do the Scorpio thing, which is to merge and to find union. So I think, you know, Scorpio maybe holds all of that, holds like the four, like I want to creatively, you know, it's like deep water, right? It's like you know, reaching into the sea and coming forward with life and blooming. Like, I want to move all the way towards you and merge with you, but I need to make sure I'm safe and I need to have that block. And I think, you know, for people who have this kind of strong Scorpio Pluto eighth house, like I said, it's like, how does that work for you? And like, when does it work and when does it not work?
Yeah. And it's interesting to think, not that I want to bring up like the opposite of safety as being unsafe, like, because nobody wants to obviously like feel unsafe. And I'm not talking about creating conditions of like unsafety that are unsafe. Well, anyway, yeah. I'm talking into it, but there's an edge of Scorpio that beyond that safety is about the unsafe or the risk on some level. And it's like the gamble that we then fully accept when we get to Sagittarius and say, all right, like if I pay my money, I'm going to take my chances. And so we're like purifying that energy in Scorpio. And so there is that edge too, and like deeply integrated. Like I was thinking about, you know, Bjork has a new album out now. And I've been thinking about like, you know, the robust career of Bjork, and, you know, and she's pretty like, you know, she's a pretty out there creatrix, and yet she's been able to sort of be in a main, you know, kind of like a main stage place in sort of the cultural landscape. And she's a triple Scorpio, sun, moon, rising, just like Katy Perry and Georgia O'Keeffe.
Wow.
Well, it's an interesting crew. But yeah. I was thinking about just like that, the maybe there's a better word for it than unsafety, but there's something where there's a deeply integrated Scorpio being, or when we deeply integrate this energy, that it becomes about something else then. It doesn't become about the power play, the push and pull anymore, the how much do I hold and how much do I give you. There's some other, and I don't know what it is, what the word is, but like when Scorpio energy really integrates and clicks sometimes, where it's like, damn, like it's about something else entirely, that's like, none of us are safe here. And Scorpio knows that. Scorpio knows ultimately that there isn't, you know, except for that nugget, whatever that is, of the internal, eternal inside of ourselves. Like there's, you know, everything else is fair game.
Like the internal eternal. Has someone ever written a book called that or anything?
Come I don't on. Know. Maybe it'll be my next one.
Yeah. 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 My feeling, you know, I had kind of been trying to tune into like what this Scorpio season is about, but any Scorpio season that you're listening to this, I'm sure this would be equally as appropriate. And the thought that came to my mind was choose your undertow. So like, ooh, in the sense, you know, of like we're all getting pulled into something, you know, and that could be something emotional, that could be something spiritual, that could be something physical, reality, you know, real life. This could be something, you know, like a project, something you're trying to do, but choose it was the key, like get ahead of it. And we're already somewhat into Scorpio season. So maybe this is already congealing for you.
Yeah.
The feeling of an undertow. When I was a kid, I didn't know what an undertow really was, like a riptide. I don't know if like we were always swimming in Lake Michigan where they have really intense riptides, but I guess we didn't know like how to swim against the riptide, or I don't know why we didn't know this. This seems like key information you would tell a kid, but we didn't know. And like, but you could feel it sometimes when the waves would start to pull you under, not a real riptide, but like a gentle one.
Do we talk about current. Have we talked about my near drowning in a riptide on this podcast?
Oh, no.
Well, that'll be the B-sides. But yeah, when you're talking about the but I'm alive, obviously, yes. Unless this is my ghost been doing all these podcasts.
Well, it would be a
very Scorpio season. But when you're talking about the undertow, I think about those magnetics again, and it's like, how do you become conscious of your own magnetics? Like, you know, the things that pull, how they pull, and, you know, not always that you can necessarily consciously wield that energy always, if we think about something like Pluto. But yeah, like what are the magnetics in you? We all have these little charges and these little, and some of them are past patterning. Some of them are past lifetimes, like some of them we will never explain. And there's something like so inexplicable about some of the pulls of water. And we get into, you know, I mean, once we get to the 12th house in Pisces, we're in, you know, forget about it. You can't explain that. But in Scorpio, like you're saying, like there maybe is the chance to become, there's a little bit of consciousness that can happen in the eighth house. You know, it can't happen the same way in the 12th, but still here, like at that intersection of what I can control and what I can't, what I can build, you know.
We just became experts at choosing things in Libra season.
Yeah.
You know, we got all this consciousness. We got to like bounce up against the external environment and see what happened. And so now it's like, okay, as you're, you know, in this time, what do you want to just focus on? And it's like, you're choosing this before you even get to Sagittarius, which is all about values and like really defining what your values are. Like, what are the underpinnings of why you're doing things? So it's almost like a preview to emotionally feel into it. Even if you don't have words for it, like just feel into how you want to move and how to direct yourself in the water. You don't even have to like run for something. Just how are you going to float to it? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every season is a sneak peek of the next. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
It's like, it's kind of cool to consider like what that edge is in each of us. And maybe it's an edge that, you know, like grows as we grow closer in time to Sag season, or, you know, or maybe it's just an edge that we each explore in a different, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that sort of like that pull toward and then that inevitable tumble into the next sign.
Do you have, I have a question for you, because I don't think I have a good sense of this. And I don't know if you even have the same way of thinking about Scorpio as I do. But when I describe Scorpio or the eighth house to people, I'm always saying like, there's kind of like two major themes. There's the theme of transformation, which is about like beginnings and creation and endings. And then there's the theme of union and merging, where it's like about like really coming up to something else and coming together. But I can never link those two things. I don't know why they're both there.
Well, I don't know if I think about them in exactly the same way, but when you're talking in this moment, for me, the relationship maybe between them is that to merge, to become intimate with everything, you have to be willing to die.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, on some level. So there's like some...
Knew I needed like, to ask you.
You have a thought. Like there's some part of that, and it's like to be penetrated, to be available to be penetrated, basically, you know. Yeah. And it's interesting because I don't know if we talked about this on Libra, but I know you and I have talked before about Libra and Scorpio being one constellation at some point and then sort of peeling off. But what I sort of forgot about that is that, and I don't know the particularities of that or what the year, you know, what happened, but I think that Libra was actually the Scorpion's claws. And then, you know, but the interesting thing about that is that if you think about those two signs at one point being combined, the journey that we then took was from Virgo to Scorpio, which is really interesting to think about, because if we think about the supplication, the bending, the bowing, the like weatherizing, all of that that happens to sort of like change the way that we see power in Virgo, then inevitably it makes sense that we would get to Libra. I mean, we would get to Scorpio, Libra, whatever that mashup is, and be ready to be penetrated by the world, you know, and also like holding something intact, whatever that little nugget is.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Whoa.
I don't know.
Bass, you just blew my mind. I'm getting chills. Oof. I'm glad I asked you that question. Oh, so good. So good. Grand astrologer, Bess Matassa.
Oh, grand astrologer.
I was trying to think of like a really flowery epitaph.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is a mutual love fest over here, so. Oh, the accolades. Is it time to roll into our listener queue?
Let's bring some more people to the party.
Yeah. So if you haven't been following along to our new format, we have been inviting in a sun sign representative to submit a question during their particular season for us to answer. And thank you so much to all of the Scorpionic beings who sent in your questions. They were powerful and transformative. A lot of them, interestingly, focused or mentioned something about the idea of a soulmate, which is very interesting. We can get into that. But we selected one of the questions. And if you're listening and you want to follow along and sort of hone your astro skills and take a look at the chart, there's a link to that in the show notes as well. But this listener asks, let's see here. Will my love partnership life really be turbulent, unexpected, and essentially what feels like it's being bombarded for the next 5 to 7 remaining years of Uranus in Taurus? I am serious about manifesting my life partner, but it seems like the astrology won't let me for another decade or so. All right.
Yes. I know. I thought that was so funny with the soulmates. I was like, okay, it's so Scorpio. Like, I've got to merge.
Yeah. The urge to merge. Person.
And I'm, you know, so that the listeners are sure and understand, I have Mars in Scorpio and Uranus in Scorpio. So, and I have Mercury in Scorpio. So I get it. Like, I'm not. It's not like I'm leaving myself out of this, but
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I had to decide for my Libra self, my double Libra self, that I don't personally believe in soulmates. I kind of believe that, you know, there's a lot of options and like there's a lot of fun people to dance with, and
yeah,
you can link up with one and then link
chemical
up with
reactions.
Another, or you can just link up with one or whatever you want, you know. But I don't, to me, and everyone should choose their own spirituality and their own belief systems, but to me, I like the idea of like coming to town and seeing who's around.
One night only.
You know, but like, and I, you know, I'm in a committed partnership and I, you know, I'm all for that. But like personally, but it's, I just feel like the soulmates thing gets a little bit like, then starts to become this quest. And then it starts to feel really like, I got to find the one. Are you the one? And then, you know, it can get a little loaded.
Yeah.
That's my personal.
You know my journey. I've been catalyzing lots of communions, carnal communions of various shapes and sizes. Yeah, it is. It is interesting. And is catalytics a word? Catalytics?
Catalytic converter.
Well, yeah, I'm thinking of the catalytic converter. But it always makes me think of the question of like soulmates, or you know, whatever that is. Always makes me think of that Carl Jung quote. I forget exactly what it is, but it's something about like. The collision of or the meeting of two souls is always like a chemical, you know, like now I'm getting it all garbled, but it's something about like if there's a charge when you meet with someone, both parties are changed. Something is catalyzed and both parties are changed. And it's a much more beautiful quote than that. But yeah, it makes me think of like all of these reactions. And like sometimes, you know, it's like we all have like different relationship, like I don't, maybe not the word karma, but like we're all coming in with some different thing to work out through the lens of relating. And so like, I don't know, it's always been interesting to me to see all of these little like combustions. It's almost like to imagine all these relationships and all these people sort of like, pew, like coming together and ignite something, create some third space out of it. And often we don't even know what the reason of that is until another point in our lives or who knows. So. Yeah, I'm of the many soulmates camp as well.
Yes.
Yeah. In short.
Yeah. You know, I think especially with Scorpio and with relationship, there's a tendency to make things very high. I'll just say intense. Okay, that's what I want to say. So I'm going to say it. It tends to get really intense. And I know this from personal experience. So the things that we can do to make it less intense are probably going to be helpful. Even if that's just language, that's, yeah. You know, just a thought, maybe a little bit didactic, but I'll stop now.
No. All right. So you want to break into, you want to bust into that chart, Sandy Citron?
Yeah. So, so I personally, with a transit like Uranus, so for those who don't know, Uranus is transiting the sign of Taurus right now, which it's about halfway through its tour through Taurus. Altogether, the Taurus transit, I believe, takes about eight years. And I don't remember what year it started. Maybe it was like 2018 or 2017. Do you remember?
I don't know. No, I'm bad at that stuff.
So we're like halfway through it, essentially. And so this tour of Taurus, as Uranus moves through Taurus, it's a change agent. It's a disruptor. It's going to shake things up. It's going to give things a reset in the sense of like, you know, new ideas, fresh air. Oh, why have I been doing it this way? Let's just do it differently. Well, you know, it doesn't matter how we used to do it. We've got new things we need to do, new things we need to try. And I think we talked about this in depth in the last episode as well. But the deal is that if you're a Scorpio or if you're a Taurus, or you have these key placements in your chart, you're probably getting some impact from Uranus over the course of these 8 years. But it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be in the you know, crosshairs of this for the whole 8 years. Luckily, as far as I do astrology, I like to give a tighter orb than that. Some astrologers, especially if you're going to look at or read like very general descriptions on YouTube or on Instagram or blogs, like where it's very general, you know, people are going to write about like right now all Scorpios and all Tauruses are, you know, in craziness for 8 years. But I think it's better to look at like maybe the exact year that Uranus is exactly opposite your sun. And so for you, dear listener who sent in your question, your sun is no longer being affected by Uranus. So you're off. You are free to move on and do whatever you want. But, and I didn't actually go to look up exactly when it was, you know, it was probably like last year or 2 years ago. Okay. But you could do a reading and find out exactly, or you can, you know, learn how to use an ephemeris and check that out. But the idea here is that maybe a year ago or 2 years ago, as Uranus did shake up your sun and your Mercury, because our listener has both of those at 7 degrees of Scorpio and 8 degrees of Scorpio. So when she had Uranus opposite her sun and Mercury, she got a big shakeup of like, hey, why have I been doing this way? And that could have related to any life area. It doesn't have to be relationships. But, you know, because that's a key feature of your question, let's say if it affected your relationships, it was like, why? Why was I, you know, acting this way? These old patterns, I'm done with them. I can't do this anymore. I need to move on. I need to find a new way of doing things. These kinds of feelings. I might need to forgive myself, because Scorpio, one of the major themes is about forgiveness. Another major theme is about power and control. So why am I in these, you know, power dynamics this certain way? I don't want to be in these kinds of dynamics anymore. So now let's look at currently what's going on. Well, currently this year and next year and a little bit of last year, the eclipses are in Scorpio and Taurus primarily. So we talked about this last time as well. But this is now why you're still continuing the transformation, why you're still shaking things up and changing things up, is that every so often you're getting an eclipse that's hitting your sun. And so, yes, you are still changing things up, but this isn't like, you know, a bombardment against relationships and kind of, this isn't like the astrology saying like, no, you can't have relationships. What it is more so is like, what do you want to do here? Like, if you're really going to strip down and leave the past behind and get rid of these past patternings and like old stories, like what's there now new room for? And you might have to take a long time to kind of like let yourself get there to this new place. You don't have to do it right away or all at once. The Scorpio and Taurus likes to go kind of slow and take time and decide and judge, is this safe? Can I trust? You know, so you have to kind of like let yourself blossom and open up. But October 25th, 2022, there's an eclipse that's really close to your sun and Mercury. Okay. And so that's going to be a moment where you're like, oh, I need to change things up. I need to shake it up. And there's, let's see here, another eclipse, May 5th, 2023. I think I skipped one that would affect you too. Sorry, November 8th, 2022, and then May 5th, 2023, and then October 28th, 2023. These eclipses are all hitting pretty close to your sun and Mercury. And so this change up is continuing, but it's giving you room to open up to new things. So can you invite someone in during that time and still continue to change and grow? Maybe even in that relationship? Sure. There's nothing that says that you can't be in relationship. There's no astrology that says that this is bombarded or, you know, that you're not allowed to do this. It's more that you're just changing so much. And there's other stuff in your chart too that has been creating this change. So it's like, allow yourself to be who you are now. And allow yourself to step forward with your, you know, what you are owning for yourself right now, like your new kind of sense of yourself. You can go drive that new car around, see what you think of it. You know, like it's, you have it, it's in the garage. It might continue to get painted and it might continue to get like, you know, some new hubcaps or something. Is that a thing? Hubcaps?
Yeah, totally.
You might like put in some new lights on the you know, so that they're like really eye catching. Like, I don't know what people do to their cars.
New rims.
You can continue to change up this car, but you've got it. So go drive it around and see what happens. There's nothing stopping you.
I like this. Yeah. I'm gonna listen back to this recording when I need a little rev, when I need a little like, go ahead and drive around. There's nothing stopping you.
Astro bombardment. I mean, yes, are you getting bombarded? Yes, you're changing. Things are happening. This is a big deal. And it could feel like, oh my God, I don't know which way is up. I'm in the undertow. I don't know how to get back to the fresh air. You know, like, but you also do. You do know, because the changing has been happening for a long time. So you get it. Like, you already know. You don't need to stop yourself from anything. Just go play. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm done.
All right. I'm done.
I don't normally talk like this. I don't know.
It's very Scorpio. This is a Scorpionic episode. And now I'm done. Oh my God. As sometimes happens for me, when I started to first look at this chart, I heard music. As I think I've heard music for the past couple as well. Doesn't always happen, but I was hearing the song, and if you feel inclined to, don't go off and take you can do whatever you want. I shouldn't say don't, but I invite you to not necessarily take like the lyrics of this song literally as some prognostication of your relationship future or anything like that. But the song that I heard playing was the Amy Mann song, Save Me. It was from years ago. It was like in the movie Magnolia. And so I was hearing this song, Save Me. And then I had this very strong visual of this person, you know, just as an entity in like an airport bar, as like an older person, like on a business trip. And then the third thing that I noticed was that I was very focalized on the word in her question, the word serious. She said that she is serious about manifesting the life partner. And so, yeah, there was sort of this trinity of things happening. And then when I looked at the chart, immediately where my eye went was to essentially what's energetically this grand cardinal cross. You know, with Libra, Cancer, the Saturn in Aries and Capricorn activated. And I started to feel into the idea, and I was in particular sort of like drawn to the Jupiter rising in Capricorn, right on the ascendant, and Chiron up in Libra, connected to sort of the North Node and Venus in Libra. And what I want to bring forward just to start, and maybe this is helpful or maybe it's not, but like there is a kind of seriousness that your soul has in this lifetime around the high stakes of partnership and around the high stakes of like what it means to quest for that, but also to hold your own self-sufficiency as like part of that. Like those dueling, I don't want to say they're dueling factors because they're not necessarily at odds, but part of your life journey is shaped around your ability to integrate those two ideas, the idea of extreme competence and extreme self-sufficiency and union. And they're not antithetical to one another, but what I imagined you almost creating, and again, this doesn't have to be like temporal or to think of like, oh, you've got to get your whole life set up before you invite in a partner. That's not necessarily what I'm saying, but there's something around you flexing and showing yourself that you can build a life, that you can set yourself up for life, to build the container for yourself to then dissolve inside of the container of relationship. And maybe that takes the form of you making kind of bold decisions in your life about what the shape of your life looks like, you know, and maybe not necessarily being actively seeking partnership at that time. And then someone comes in. And I think this is where I got like the vision of you in the airport bar. It was like you as this emboldened, hyper self-sufficient being who's like on a tear out in the world, doing your thing, building your, you know, your empire. And then somebody comes in, and then somebody walks into the door. And it's just so like so much to say that like, and I'm not implying that like this is where you are in your life or you're looking for a partnership to save you or anything like that. But I think there's just a really strong theme in your life around creating a container and sort of the grit of you and being able to sort of build that out. And then having the dissolving or the watery energy, this Cancer moon, you know, the Venus in Libra, that kind of aspirational energy, to be able to sort of release inside of that. And so whatever you're hearing from that, whatever you can take of like, when you build it, they will come kind of thing. Like, it's almost like to build out, and this doesn't need to be the literal form, but like, what if you built out the entire life that you would want to share with another person? And then an energy enters, like just sort of like doing little flexes to yourself to remind yourself of your own capacity to make the container. And also just a sweet reminder about the high stakes feeling of this in your lifetime. Of course, feelings are also real, but they don't tell the full story about the potentiality of you and partnership. And so I think just knowing that that Chiron is always, it's a tender little place. And it's tenderly in the realm of relating, coupled with the North Node, coupled with Venus. Like, there's such an aspirational energy around what that could be like, what life could be like in relating to someone else, coupled with this moon in Cancer in the seventh, you know, having a Libran overtone. And then the really sweet gift, I think, and in some ways, the way toward it is the Jupiter in Capricorn. And the Jupiter in Capricorn is like the expansion around like a really sweet, majestic feeling of your own magnitude and your own ability to be kind of self-sufficiently rolling through your life. And then, you know, and then someone enters, or then you relate. And I don't know where that all lands, but that's sort of where I got kind of caught up in this chart, those cardinal energies and the idea of creating the container and then letting in.
Yeah, I think that was really spot on. I think I feel like this person needs to hear that, like exactly what you've offered. It reminded me that this, sometimes I feel like people need validation of their charts of like, am I a relationship? Like, can I have a relationship? Which on one level, as an astrologer, I totally get that question. And on another level, I'm like, anyone can do anything, you know, like you don't need to have a certain chart, or you don't need to, you know, you don't, I like, obviously deeply believe in astrology, but I also deeply believe in free will and like, let's all go do whatever we want, you know, but your chart, listener, is such a relationship chart. Like, you have the most, I mean, you might know this, I don't know how much you know about astrology, but it's like so many of the symbols in your chart are like, I want to explore through relationship. I want to know about how to come together, how to compromise, and how to share, and how to defend myself and my own autonomy throughout that, and how to be self-sufficient, but also accept support. You know, all these themes that come up with relationship are huge for you and blessed, you know, in your chart. So like, if you've ever wondered, like, do I get to have a relationship? Like, it's, you know, your astrology chart is like, yeah. But as Beth said, like, there's a high, what did you say? Like, it's a high stakes feeling of like, I have to do it. I better do it. I need to do it. Like, I really want to explore there. I really want to know what that's like.
Oh, I was just thinking about the, and I guess we sort of spoke to this before, but that, I mean, well, Venus is opposite Saturn. This is another, I mean, it's like you see a theme in a chart and then it just, repeats. Yeah. The theme, the song repeats. We've got, you know, like energies gathered up near the midheaven, which is ruled by Capricorn. We've got Capricorn rising, the Jupiter. We got the Saturn in the opposition. But also like this, like, I feel like one of the high stakes, you know, the whole cardinal cross is a high stakes kind of, it's charged in that way, but also the, you know, thinking about the idea of having Venus opposite Saturn in Libra and in Aries. And it's like, it feels like a choice sometimes. It feels like I'm either going to be partnered or I'm going to be fucking alone for the rest of eternity. Like, there's a kind of like either or-ness in that feeling. And like, you know, the word that you use, so the beautiful word, I feel like I was trying to look for this word and I didn't find it, the autonomy, the idea of autonomy. And that it may feel in your system like those two things are going to be at odds. And when you're autonomous, or when you're wholly self-sufficient, or when you're apart, even if we look at the 0-degree Mars in Virgo, and we talked, I think, a lot, either the previous chart or maybe two charts ago, about the idea of the solitary, you know, the kind of like last moment alone that we have unto ourselves in Virgo, and 0 degrees, like charged again in Virgo, you know, like these feelings of like, you know, fear, not fear, but like there's a certain like tension around like, if I don't come in and relate, I'm going to be left out here alone for all eternity. And I'm going to have to just like, you know, like wild survival kit, like the rest of my existence. And like, I don't know. I mean, also like, I think the word grit is really interesting. Like thinking about the Scorpio versus the Libra and like what that looks like to have Venus in Libra, which is a super elevated, all of the potential of like what relating could be. And then Scorpio, what it really fucking is, you know? And it's like, like your journey of that too, and to see what that looks like and to notice in partnership when you're really questing after an ideal, what that feels like, whether it feels like it's elevating your spirit or whether it feels really constrictive and like a should. And then what your relationship is to like grit in partnership and like those kind of down and dirty moments too.
Yeah. I just want to say one more thing, because I feel like it was so funny when I was reading your chart, listener. I was like, so to the point. And I'm not, of course, I like to get to the point, but I feel like I was a little harsh. And I don't mean to be harsh. And I don't know why I was exactly, or if I was. But I think what I really want to say is like that car metaphor where it's like, go, the car's in the garage, go drive it around, is like, go have fun. You know, just enjoy, go enjoy going around and checking things out, driving around in your souped up car, keep souping it up, keep changing it up. And this lightness is kind of like exploration of doing little trips around the neighborhood, metaphorically speaking, going on little dates, like might help with, to use metaphor to help yourself kind of make it feel a little lighter for you. Because we can tell from the chart that it's like, it's a big quest for you. It's like a big journey. It's like a big road trip. You're like, I want to get the car. I want to get all the stuff I'm going to need for the whole journey. We're going to go across the country and we're going to get, you know, the maps and we're going to get all this stuff. And it's like, just go drive around the neighborhood. Go have a little fun, you know, like yeah. It doesn't have to be a big, huge thing where it puts you into a sense of like now or never, all or nothing, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah. And hopefully it's, you know, helpful to hear like, again, not that feelings don't feel like, you know, they're obviously they are true, but like, you know, that this is also just like a part of it. This is just like a sort of a feeling tone that your soul is exploring. It's exploring what it feels like to have an either or kind of like creative tension exist inside of you around autonomy and union. And, you know, to see what you can make of that, like the kind of partnership. And with that north node, like sitting with its butt right on Venus, you know, at the top of the chart, like, that's where we're going. We're going there. You know, we just, you know, along the way, we're going to develop you. This is a muscly looking chart. It looks very muscular to me. And so there's a lot of muscle building that's going to happen around this topic. And that's not a problem. It's not to say that, you know, and I'm not implying that in response to your question, that like your love life is going to be somehow more turbulent than somebody else's, or this is a punitive thing or anything like that. It's just sort of an invitation, I think, when you come into partnerships that I think you're going to really find soul satisfying on a deep level, they're going to come through a little bit of this kind of autonomous muscle building of you and this kind of like ability that you are sort of getting schooled in to, you know, to also be able to embrace a range. Like this is a kind of ranging. If we're looking at a sign like Scorpio, even a sign like Capricorn, these are survival. And Aries, like this is the trinity I used to call like the survives the apocalypse trinity for different reasons. But like, you know, there's something about you also like really taking this on, like, okay, maybe the seriousness and the question, like maybe sometimes you want to really trick that seriousness out too and be like, damn, I'm going to get into it. I'm going to like get into this kind of partnership and we're going to like, pew, do like relationship calisthenics together. And then I'm going to come over here like to actually like give yourself some like lusciousness around that survivalism and around that kind of grittiness of you too. And let that open you to like a greater range of intimacy, which is ultimately what your sun sign journey, you know, part of what it's about to be a Scorpio sun sign is to be able to tolerate a huge range of human expression.
I keep saying one more thing, and I really hope, you know, for all the listeners that we're getting a lot out of this for everyone's charts, but I do want to just say one more thing, because like, I always feel like people who have Capricorn rising or Cancer rising, which, like, if you're a Capricorn rising, then you're going to have Cancer on the descendant on the relationship point. And if you're a Cancer rising, then you're going to have Capricorn on the descendant. And for both of those rising signs, you're getting like this, it's this interesting thing, because what you there's a lot of tension between, I want to nurture, I want to be so close, I want to be so together, I want to be in the interior with family, I want to bring you into my family, and I want us to be so cuddled and close, and yet I need my autonomy, I need my separation, I want to have like a duplex, and like, you can live over there and I'll live over here. And there's that tension for everyone who has either Capricorn or Cancer on the ascendant, I think, you know, and so this listener has Capricorn on the ascendant. And it's like finding the balance and finding out how to make this very functional for yourself. Like, what makes family and having other people in your inner world, even if that's roommates or whoever it is, people who are close to you, how does it work? Like, how do the nuts and bolts of it work for you? And making sure that that really works for you, you know, because sometimes you see people are like, yeah, I want to get really close, but I'm actually worried that's going to mess with my work. Or that's going to mess with my, you know, weekends. I need to get so much done on the weekends, you know? And so I sometimes see that interplay, but overall people with these signs on the ascendant or descendant, and both are really looking for functional family setups where it's like, yeah, we are together and it works for us. So throwing that out there.
Yeah. I mean, it makes me think like, I mean, maybe this is obvious to say, but there's something about whoever you are and whatever your, you know, your rising and your descending signs are, to think about that. And I think maybe it circles back to what I was trying to say very like weirdly in the beginning about like for and against and like heliotropism and all of that. Like, this is a dynamic axis that describes, you know, in part a kind of reach out across the divide, the rising, the set of, you know, the descending signs, a reach out across the divide, a call to discover what we are and what we think we're not, and then to sort of make peace with the continuum rather than, you know, kind of swinging along this axis. And so I think it can be a useful axis, no matter who you are, to take a look at in your partnerships, you know, when you kind of are seeking to recalibrate, or you're going through a big period of change, or you're just inquiring about what your soul's up to in this lifetime. I mean, there's the whole chart, of course, works in service of relationship. There's no, you know, like magic key or secret, but I think it can be useful to sort of return and be like, okay, with my Capricorn rising and, you know, my, and hers is sort of magnified by also having obviously the moon in Cancer on the descendant, you know, we're all going to have a different, like, I have Libra rising and then I have every other fucking planet in Aries. And you better believe, like, the journey has been toward Libra. It hasn't been the other way as much, you know? So it's like, you can't necessarily assume that you're going to identify more with one or more with the other, but always like checking to see where you are in time along that axis. Because one of the goals, I think, of our souls in our particular lifetime is to integrate those two, is to break the binary of those two signs and hybridize them in some way. And we do that through relationship.
Oh, so well said. Grand astrologer, best photographer. Oh, I really like it.
I'm enjoying this. I'm really, yeah, this episode has just been a party for my yeah. own whatever. My own whateverness.
I love it.
All right. Well, should we pull some tarot cards?
Yes.
All right. So listeners, we're just going to pull three cards forward and see how they integrate, speak to the themes that we've been discussing, anything that wants to come through. All right. We've got three cards here, Sandy Citron. Okay. So I've got the Nine of Cups, the Ten of Pentacles, and the Chariot. So astrologically, the Chariot, we've got a kinship with the sign of Cancer, the Ten of Pentacles with Virgo, and Nine of Cups with Pisces.
What's the Nine of Cups look like again?
Nine of Cups is this kind of the card that often is called like the wishing card, where there's the, in this particular deck, it's like this person, you know, surrounded by these cups. It's ruled by Jupiter and Pisces, technically speaking, but technically, I don't know if that's the,
so
Do you want to bring something? It seems like you're
I'm trying.
Something's coming through. I like for you to bring something.
Okay,
because
let me just see if something comes through here. It's kind of like, it's making me think about this choose your undertow thing again and like the kind of like gathering of yourself. And I don't know, you know, I'm just feeling into it, but it's like, it's making me think about with Taurus, how you have gathered up all of these resources. And then with Scorpio, you go like kind of share them or you lean into someone else and you say like, here, do you want to take it all? You know, like give to me too. And it feels like with these cards, it's like, it's really about both the actions, like gathering up and driving forward and taking everything you have and just kind of like building yourself up really big and then colliding into something. That's kind of the feeling I have, but I don't really
know. Yeah. Gathering and colliding. Yeah. Wait a minute. I'm getting something here. The first thing I was thinking, like, gathering, colliding, I'm writing that down so I don't forget it. I had this, well, I don't want to call it a breakthrough. That sounds like very, very aggrandizing, but I had a turning point recently and over the past few months in my understanding of Ten of Pentacles. Mm. For a very long time, this card, I don't want to say haunted me, but it just never quite clicked, like my understanding of it, like fully. I had this vague sense and it would come up a lot. And I would always hear Radiohead that, I forget what the name of the song is, but maybe it's called Everything in Its Right Place. I would always hear the lyrics, Everything in Its Right Place, Everything in Its Right Place. And I was like, what is that? What is that? And then I would always see these visuals of like a city, you know, kind of landing in an airplane in a city at night and all of the little houses and there'd be lights being on in each of the houses separated. And I was like, I could never like synthesize this into anything that was actually like useful to anybody. And then recently I started to feel into the aspect of this card that's about like, I started to hear the phrase, you can have it all. You can have it all. And I was like, okay. And then I got to this place in the card where I was thinking, oh, wow, part of this card's energy is actually about the reality that we can't have it all. Mm-hmm. And when we release the idea that we can have it all, we actually are able to have at more of everything that's here, like that's everything that's present. We then turn and it's, you know, it's ruled by Virgo. It's ruled by the sun in Virgo. Mm. So in some ways, this is like a card that's about the acceptance of a kind of, I don't want to say it's not enoughness, but it's just like seeing the particularity of like what's here without having to, you know, quest. It's like the settling in to the having more of the here-ness rather than this feeling of like the missing or the missing piece. It's like all of the pieces are somehow here. We're just sort of reassembling them. So it makes me think a little bit about like what you're saying, this gathering and colliding. There's something about like, I don't know, about like some work around the acceptance that happens in Scorpio too, where we're going to step out and we're going to accept like after these very high-minded Libran ideals, and we're starting to kind of reckon with the come down almost. And that's not to say that Scorpio energy is not, cannot be like rarefied and beautiful and aggrandized and all of that. But in some ways we're coming down into the rawness of reality now. And there is a glory in that too, because we then get to like turn in relationship or turn to our lives and be like, oh wow, I can be like incredibly present for what's here and like go at it and go after it and go into it without feeling like I'm like energetically questing, you know. I don't know. It's an interesting combo too to think about with Nine of Cups ruled by Pisces, connected to this sort of fantasizing, to the might be-ness, to the soul longing, and to like learn to kind of live in the longing. And there's a certain, I think, I don't know, an interesting relationship to longing that happens in all the water signs energy. And in Scorpio, maybe I want to say we get more realistic about that, but we come really face to face with desire in a different way that isn't an extension toward. It's like a right here-ness of like, what does it mean to actually really be with the thing that I wanted and now I have, or to lose the thing I wanted and now I have, or to know that I can never get the thing that I wanted, or to be with this person in the reality of them, or whatever that is. And, you know, to have the Chariot on the other side, Cancer, it's like kind of tricking out, you know, maybe Virgo, Ten of Pentacles, is like the secret sauce that lets us understand the relationship between Cancer and Pisces. and these kinds of longings, you know, and I don't know where I'm going with all that, but there's something there.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's interesting because it's like humans don't want to just be okay with what we have. You know, like we want to keep looking for more and layering on more and more and more. But so much about what you're, I think, you know, one thread of what you're talking about, I don't think all the threads, but just one small thread of what you're talking about is like, let's work with what's here. Like, let's be in it. Get into it. Go deeper into it.
Get
sucked into the undertow by it.
Yeah. And this kind of idea of like the maturation process too, like I think about the chariot a lot connected to how we mature, you know, kind of like what we're being birthed through, how we kind of carry ourselves through, you know, processes of change. And it's like both things like have to be at play, the longing, the wishing, the hoping of the futurity and the reckoning. Like both of those things are like how, and maybe it's, I mean, maybe we're just getting totally like tripped out, like into existential nonsense here, but it's like that pull again of like the for and against or the heliotrope or like the growing into the light and growing back down into the whatever. And I don't know. I've lost it now.
Yeah. We're exactly where we should be. Scorpio took us there. We're so deep in the emotional content. I mean, this is not a conceptual sign, right? Like so many of the signs have like a key conceptual component to them, but not Scorpio. It's very visceral.
Yeah.
You know, it's very much about what we're pressing up against and what we're going to allow in.
Ooh. And
so that's where we are now.
Pressing up against, allowing in. All right. So listeners, penetrations, autonomous reckonings, excavations. We didn't do any pimple popping, but maybe you
Thank
can do that
God,
at home.
No, roses manifest.
Why do I keep? I feel like on multiple episodes, I keep like bringing this up. I don't know why. I think it came through a long time ago with the Tower card, which is ruled by Mars, which is connected to Scorpio. Anyway, we'll leave it there. Wherever you are, we're wishing you intimacy and strength and wherewithal and grit and glory. And we will see you in Sagittarius season for a stretch of the legs across an open plain.
Thanks for joining us. If you want to ask a question about your own chart, you can do so at starpartypodcast.com/question. And visit my website, that's sandycitron.com, for courses and mini readings and regular astrology readings. I'll be doing one question readings on new moons and full moons. So sign up at my website, sandycitron.com. And Besmatasa's website is besmatasa.com. We'll see you soon.